The draft is in 2 weeks from tomorrow edition of the Dolphins in Depth podcast. Hi, Adam.
Hi. You ready?
Well, I've been at home, unlike everybody else in the world. You know, I haven't really left the house much. I'm weird that way. Yeah, I'm pretty much ready. I'd like a draft presser with Chris Greer where he tells us nothing, but I'd like it so we could quote him saying nothing. That would be cool.
You know what I would like? I would like to talk to the head coach of the Miami Dolphins about the 10 new free agents they signed.
That would be good too. Interesting. You know, let's talk about that real quick. So, a couple of weeks ago, the NFL, actually the Pro Football Writer, suggested to teams that, hey, we haven't had a spring meeting. There's been no NFL annual meeting this year. It was obviously postponed. Go ahead if you can and get your general managers and your coaches on the line with the media to kind of talk to them. How did that go with the Dolphins, availability?
They have not heeded that suggestion quite yet.
No, they haven't. Quite yet, meaning they're not gonna. I don't believe that they're gonna. They're going to do the draft presser because they must, but, yeah, we're not in the, let's just talk to the guys mode with the Dolphins.
Why do you think that is? Do you think it's in their DNA, or do you think their little sphincters are tight right now because of what's coming down the road in 2 weeks?
Well, I mean, there is no doubt that their sphincters are tight. There is no doubt about that. This is a generational draft that is coming up. In a generational offseason. We're halfway through this generational offseason, and the team spent $250 million in salary cap contracts, $150 million of it guaranteed. So it's a big deal, right?
Yeah.
And now they've got 14 draft picks coming up. Another big deal, right?
Correct.
So if it's such a big deal, that tells me jobs are on the line. They better, whatever decisions they make this offseason, better result in wins. Because if it doesn't, there's going to be issues.
So there's been a lot of talk lately. I think maybe Tannenbaum, I saw a quote, people in the national media are saying that there are going to be teams that blow it, that blow their draft because of coronavirus, that because they don't have all the information on a player, make decisions one way or the other that are the wrong decisions, and it'll have massive impact on the franchise going forward. The Dolphins have the most draft picks of any team, certainly the most valuable draft picks of any team with six in the first three rounds. Are the Dolphins in danger of blowing it?
Of course they are. On the other hand, I don't think I'm going to tell you that they're going to blow it because of coronavirus. I just think that if they blow it, it's because they didn't do and didn't get all the information and didn't make right decisions. So this is a fact. In this country today, the CDC, and this is a little bit out of left field analogy, but it's going to stay with me here.
Don't abandon me, man. I'm ready for this.
The CDC is counting every death in which coronavirus is an outside factor as a coronavirus death. In other words, if a person has heart disease and coronavirus and dies of a heart attack, that's a coronavirus death.
Right.
If a person is driving down the road, has coronavirus, and smashes against a tree and dies, that's a coronavirus death. And so the reason I say that is because you'll hear years from now, teams that blow this draft because they're not good at drafting, they're going to blame coronavirus.
So who's the Dr. Fauci in this situation?
Well, I guess Tannenbaum, since he's the one that's saying this stuff. But I mean, do you see where I'm going with this? It's another layer of excusage, and frankly, I don't care.
Do you think it's an excuse or a valid reason?
Okay, so are there some teams that are going to get it right in this draft?
Yeah, hopefully the Miami Dolphins are one of them, yes.
Yes, but I can guarantee you there are teams that will get it right.
Mm-hmm.
I can guarantee you there are teams that will get it wrong. It's that, you know what that is? Another draft in the NFL. So it, to me, is an excuse, because this is what happens every year. Teams do it right, teams do it wrong. Now, if we get outliers, if we get teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers that typically draft pretty well, if we get teams like, I was going to say New England, but New England doesn't draft all that well anymore anyway, not lately. You know, if you get teams like, who drafts well, Adam, other than Pittsburgh?
The Dallas Cowboys draft very well.
The Dallas Cowboys, the Baltimore Ravens. If those teams blow it, I'm going to look back and go, well, hey, you know, maybe it was that. But teams that typically blowing it, that's just another year in the draft.
Well, I wouldn't say the Dolphins have a high percentage of blowing it, but they're not good either. I mean, they've been middle of the pack, I would say, for a long time. They're usually pretty good with their first-round picks, right? Their first-round picks, at the very least, become starters overwhelmingly. There are the exceptions, Deion Jordans and Charles Harrison, but we remember those names because they are the exceptions. Second round, third round hasn't been great for this team. They do okay in the third day. They find some quality depth, but if they
oh my God,
well, they do.
Okay.
Rashad Jones was third day. I mean, there are examples of them finding good players in the third day of the draft.
Wow, 10 years ago. Okay.
Hey, they gave Jakeem Grant a whole chunk of money. He was a third day pick. I mean, they have found players in the third day. I'm not saying that all of them are stars, but they found contributors in the third day. What will tell me that if the Dolphins blow it will be more so if they overthink the quarterback situation. And you can say tangentially, they might overthink it because of the lack of information they're going to have on Tua, who he dropped another hype video this week. Did you see that, Armando?
I was shocked that also he did another interview with Steve Weish, of the NFL Network. It's like, you're trying really hard, dude. You know, someone who is a scout in the NFL told me this. The guy's trying really hard.
Yeah.
He's trying too hard, actually.
I agree. I will also say that Smash Room, or whatever they call it, Justin Herbert video was one of the most cringeworthy things I've ever seen. He talk about trying too hard. Clearly not his personality. And so he was trying to overcompensate for that not being his personality by taking sledgehammers to televisions. And to me, I don't think he helped himself with that.
Actually, I enjoyed it. You know? You know why? Because I want to be doing that. That's why. You're right, where he takes a big lead pipe or a aluminum bat to television sets and other assorted household appliances. Yeah, that's weird. But the fact that he would go with that tells me there's a little something there, back there somewhere. I mean, he is supposed to be this super quiet introvert. I don't want any limelight. I don't want any attention type of guy. That was a departure, would you agree?
Yes, and I would say that it was scripted and it was intentional to get to elicit the response that you're giving. And that's fine. I mean, there's 90% of this, that 90% of this dance that these guys have done for the last 3 months is all scripted. Tua is 100% scripted. The only one who's not is Jordan Love, I would say. And maybe Burrow, too, but Burrow got pretty scripted in Indy because I think he still doesn't want to go to Cincinnati if at all possible. But he knew that for PR purposes, he couldn't just come out and say it. But a lot of these guys, I think, are doing whatever they can to put their best face forward, trying to overcompensate for deficiencies. And obviously, Tua's deficiencies is health, and Herbert's deficiencies is leadership. So, and it's fine. We all do it. We have job interviews. We're going to do research to give the best possible answers that'll give us the best possible chances to get the job. And that's what they're doing. I totally understand that. I just think that if authenticity to me is the most important quality, and that smash room didn't feel 100% authentic to me. That's all.
So before we go to break, let's handle this real quick. You mentioned Joe Burrow, and to me, that guy is the most authentic guy in the entire draft, okay? As far as a quarterback is concerned. Just, he doesn't give a crap. And, yeah, he had that moment in Indy where he had to say what he said. But you know what? There wasn't a leak about it at first. He actually had to come out and say stuff. And he said the right things. I want quarterbacks that say the right things. So there's that. But I find out that ESPN is reporting that the Dolphins might try to go up to draft Joe Burrow. And Bleacher Report is reporting that the Dolphins – why are you laughing, Beasley?
Yeah, we need to get into this in detail because this is the first I'm hearing about this.
And then Bleacher Report is reporting that the Dolphins might go up and draft – try to trade for Joe Burrow. So this is like great reporting by ESPN and Bleacher Report. What are your thoughts on this topic as far as the Dolphins being able to do that? Because, you know, the Miami Herald taking those reports, stealing those reports, did a fake negotiation of the, you know, the trade between the Dolphins and the Bengals, and the Dolphins killed the Bengals in that.
You know, I heard otherwise. I haven't seen all the details of that proposed trade, but I heard Mike Brown was savvy, that he added two potential Pro Bowlers and two first-round picks. I think that's pretty good.
So, in reality, though, we're having some fun with this, but in reality, what do you think the chances of that actually happening are?
I will give you that answer after we take a very short break. And we're back, and we're discussing Joe Burrow because we've talked about Justin Herbert and Tua way too much over the last 3 months. So let's talk about another possibility that's been reported by the Miami Herald and others since, that the Dolphins are going to try and go and get Joe Burrow. And I think there's a chance, Armando. I don't think there's a great chance because there's no other anything close to a sure thing as a quarterback in the draft. Even if the Dolphins, and I think their best path forward is to negotiate a trade with the Lions and then negotiate a trade with the Bengals, get to three first, because three is a lot more lucrative than five. You can get the second-best quarterback at three. You're not guaranteed of that at five. Who is the second-best quarterback, and who do you have confidence in that in 5-7 years is not only going to be a good player but a good, healthy player? There are real questions there. And so I don't think the Bengals, even as much of a laughingstock as they are around the league, and let's not forget that they've been to the playoffs a lot more in the last 20 years than the Dolphins have, but neither here nor there, they don't think they're going to be picking one again anytime soon. They think that this is – they're bottomed out. They have the number one pick, and when you have the number one pick, you take advantage of it. And they need a quarterback. So that's why I think the Dolphins are going to try. I think they have – all the resources needed to get up to one. I just don't think there's going to be a willing trade partner.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think if you look at what the Bengals have done this offseason, it tells you that they are going to, you know, go for the gusto with the quarterback, that they see that as a piece. If they had let, for example, A.J. Green walk, that would have suggested to me, if they hadn't put Andy Dalton on the trade market so, you know, so flagrantly to where everyone knows he's on the trade market and he probably will get traded, I would say to you, maybe there's a chance that, you know, they're just loading up for next year. But they went out this year and they signed DJ Reader. They signed Trey Waynes. They tagged A.J. Green, so he's not going anywhere. They signed Mackenzie Alexander, the cornerback. Josh Fiennes, Von Bell. They are trying to get better.
Right.
I'm shocked. And the way that they're trying to do that is they're trying to put players around a position that it feels like they know that they're going to get to. And that position is the quarterback, and that quarterback is the best guy in the draft.
Yeah, I think the only scenario that the Bengals would be okay trading out is if they're confident in Tua's health. If that they believe that Tua would have been the number one pick in the draft and they loved him all along before he got hurt. And the risk, there will be some risk obviously taking him. There's risk in any player, but certainly him health-wise, that the risk that they would incur by taking him instead of Joe Burrow would be offset by the gains that they would make with the draft picks the Dolphins would send their way. That say that there's a 5% chance in their minds that he has a chronic hip issue and is out of the league in 3 years, they hedge that bet by getting two, maybe three first-round picks in return. So, and I think that's the calculus they're going to have to make. But I wouldn't do it. If I were the Bengals, there is no amount of draft capital you can offer me to get someone who I think is going to be a Pro Bowl quarterback on a rookie contract. That is the most valuable asset in all of professional sports. Why would the Bengals just let that go?
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't see it happening. The only wild card is Mike Brown. Mm-hmm. In that Mike Brown is, you know, a fossil, and so therefore maybe he wants to win now and will gladly take four draft picks, you know, to throw in there with Andy Dalton and let's go. But I don't see it happening either.
Yeah, why do you think Dalton hasn't been moved yet?
Because draft day hasn't come yet. You know, I just think that the Bengals, they're going to try to come back. They've got the first pick of the second round, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they try to get back into the first round with two first round picks. And they use Andy Dalton as a, here, now we have our quarterback. Here, take Andy Dalton, take our first pick in the second round, give us the number 22 pick or something like that. I'm just throwing a number out there.
Right. Teams that pick in the 20s that could use a quarterback, that list is pretty slim because if you made the playoffs last year, you're probably pretty good at the quarterback position.
Well, like the Patriots.
Right. That's one team that would stand out at 23. So, yeah, I could see them offering Andy Dalton and the 33rd pick to go up to 23. I could certainly see that. Problem is this, Armando, the Patriots have no cap space. I mean, their financial situation is very strange, especially considering they don't have Tom Brady on their books. They would have had to cut players to make Brady fit if he would have come back to New England. But I'll have to look up their cap number, and you go ahead and
– It's low.
Talk amongst yourselves while I do it, but
talk amongst yourself.
Let's see the public salary cap report from the NFLPA, and that's as close to as official as you'll get. Has the New England Patriots at, you ready for this number?
800,000.
1.8 million.
Okay.
So for them to take on Andy Dalton's $17 million contract. They're going to have to cut a lot of players. They're going to have to create a lot of space. So, sure. Which leads me to another question.
Are the they're Patriots tanking.
Tanking, yes. Are they doing whatever they can to maximize their – because, look, they're going to have – every year we put out the list, and you chuckle when you do it. The Dolphins got a fourth and sixth round compensatory pick. The Patriots got 9 third round compensatory picks. I mean, every year they absolutely clean up, and they're going to do it again in 2021 because look at all – they lost Brady, they lost Van Noy. They lost half their team to the Dolphins, and Brady's gone. They didn't really do much to replace the guys that they lost. I could totally see a scenario in which the Patriots are trying to get every single asset possible into the 2021 draft.
Well, good for them. God bless them. I hope they enjoy losing because I have news for them. It's not all that it's cracked up to be. It sounds good in the abstract, but I think we both saw last year it's weird and it has unintended consequences and it's just not always going to work. Like, you're not always going to find the way to get the top pick. So let them do that. Let me ask you about Tua Tagovailoa.
Okay.
You are Chris Greer, all right? How comfortable are you? Let's not even address talent, okay? Forget talent. How comfortable are you that you have not seen a report from your own doctors following the Indianapolis NFL Combine on Tua Tagovailoa's current status of health? How comfortable are you with that?
I would say 75%. And here's why, Armando. We had the Combine, and he had a recheck. One of the many leaks that we've had about Tua in the last 3 months, he had a recheck a week ago, 2 weeks ago.
Not from the NFL Combine, though.
True, but it was with a doctor that teams signed off on. The 32 teams around the league signed off on this doctor to examine.
I don't believe it.
You don't think that doctor was – you think that Tua's camp put out – I think we would know by now. There would be a team pushing back like that's BS. We had no input on who this doctor is.
Do you seriously think that 32 teams agreed on one guy?
I think that there was I'm sure the NFL has a list of positions that the that are palatable to the league, and the teams were like, yeah, sure, that guy's fine. That's my guess.
That would be dumbfounding to me, and trust me, I've been very dumb before. But it would be strange to me that a team whose future is in the balance here, a mm-hmm. team like, I don't know, the Miami Dolphins, that they would go, yeah, whatever, if the Patriots agree to this and the Bills agree to this and the Jets agree to this, we'll agree to it, too, knowing that the Bills and the Patriots and the Jets and nobody else has their best interests at heart.
Yeah, but the Bengals do. I mean, the Bengals want just as much clean information on Tua as the Dolphins do. So, I mean, the Chargers are in the same boat. I mean, the Jaguars need a quarterback. There are plenty of teams out there that need a quarterback that want accurate information. And I'll say this. No, it's not an ideal situation by any stretch of the imagination. But it's giving them more information than they otherwise would, because it's either you do that or you just completely rely on these leaks. You completely rely on Nick Saban. You completely rely on Lee Steinberg. You completely rely on people who truly don't have your best interest in heart. They have the best interest of their client, of their former player at heart. So, yeah, no, I don't think it's ideal, but I think that having that extra layer of oversight, and that's all this is, it's just oversight on to his doctors that they're telling the truth, having that extra layer of oversight is better than not having it. And again, I'm not saying I have 100% confidence. I wouldn't until I get my own group of doctors poking and prodding the guy. But again, that's going to be the equation. That's going to be the formula. What's the magic number of percentage of upside of the player and percentage of risk you're incurring by not having your doctors put their hands on him? And it goes back to the Drew Brees situation. If you feel like the player cannot play, you feel like the player is a huge medical red flag, you're wise in passing on him. Now, the Dolphins' doctors got it wrong with Drew Brees. we'll see if they get it right with Tua.
Yeah, the Drew. You see, I get you with the Drew Brees situation, except that Drew Brees was already an NFL player, and so you know, Drew Brees is already an NFL player. We're talking Tua's medical, and then if you're super comfortable with that, which no one can be, and if I encourage you guys to listen to Mike Lombardi on his podcast, because he broke it down from a perspective of having worked for teams, including the evil empire in New England, he broke it down how teams cannot possibly general manage. There is no general manager out there that could possibly be comfortable with Tua Tagovailoa's medicals right now, because they haven't gotten them themselves. They haven't verified them themselves, and they're not going to. So yeah. that is just shocking to me that you have to do that. But going back to Drew Brees, Drew Brees had already played very well in the NFL. He had the medical. Tua Tagovailoa, he hasn't played well in the NFL, and he has the medical.
Correct. He would also have been the number one pick in the draft. He didn't get hurt.
We don't know that.
I think there's a pretty strong likelihood. I think.
Why? You think he would be ahead of Joe Burrow?
Yes. Yeah, I think scouts I've talked to say he would have been the number one pick in the draft if he didn't get hurt. So at worst, he would have been number two. The value of that pick for the Redskins would have been so great that he would have been okay passing on Chase Young for him.
That I can agree to.
So, all right, we've gone around and talked about a lot of important things. Let's get out of here on this. Do you think that we will learn between now and 2 weeks from tomorrow, when the draft begins, anything that will be honest? Or do you think that between now and the time the draft comes out, it's just people dumping stuff, information out there, totally agenda-driven?
Well, I think we'll have more of that. There's no doubt, right?
Mm-hmm.
As we get closer, people will become more desperate and will push the envelope more on, draft me! Draft me, damn it! I'm fine! Look at me! I can run! Look at me! I can throw! Look at me! My ankles are fine! Look at me! My hip is good! So there's going to be that. But I would not be surprised if within 2 weeks we have some sort of ability by teams to do some limited medical checks. Call me an optimist. Call me strange. I just think that is a possibility.
Wow.
Hold me to it. Come back to me in 2 weeks and call me a dummy if you want. But I wouldn't dismiss that possibility. And that would be a game changer for Tua. Absolutely. Absolutely would be a game changer. Moreover, if I were his agent, I would be on the phone with the NFL every day. Can he do it today? Can he do it today? Can he do it today? You're hurting my client. Your policies are hurting my client. You're killing me. You're taking money out of his pocket. You're hurting us. Let this happen. And let me say this. Airlines are still running, correct?
They are.
Mm.
So I'm not getting on a plane right now, Armando. I'll tell you that much.
Fair. You're also not making what a team doctor makes. If you were, you would. Because
there's no need to do that. Just put them on Air Ross One. I mean, you could. There are ways.
No. Because then he has to do 32 of those. I'm talking about where they come to him.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, put the doctor on Air Ross One. So just there's absolutely ways around that.
Right.
I just
a Tua medical day in Pensacola or wherever, or at the Andrews Clinic in the Panhandle, or in Alabama, or in Nashville where he's training. Guys, come and see me. I'm available to you. I'm getting naked for you. Here, look at my body. I'm an Adonis, and my hip is awesome.
And I will say that this, if you're a player that's maybe a third round pick who's got an injury that would otherwise be a late first, early second round pick, you have a lawsuit against the league then, because why does Tua get that special dispensation?
No, so I'm saying as a matter of policy.
No, if you do it for, right. But if you do it for Tua, you got to do it for every single player then. Every
That's
single
why
player.
I said, a policy.
Yeah.
It applies to everybody. Policies apply.
I would say the league is going the opposite direction right now. They're going in the direction where you're going to do the draft from your basement, right? You can't even be in the same room as your cap guy, as your owner. You're all going to be isolated. I can't see them reversing course to such a degree in 2 weeks that no, you still have to stay in your basement, but go ahead and fly all over the country to meet with 50 players for medical rechecks. I would be stunned if that happens.
It's improbable, but I wouldn't be surprised. So let's leave it at that, and let's see what happens. Improbable Armando versus logical Adam Beasley. I got it. It's all good. I'm happy with improbable.
I am always the sky is falling, so it's good to have a balance on this show.
All right, so we appreciate you joining us again today, the improbable versus the logical. I'm happy to represent the fringe. I'm going to go play with, like, a lollipop and count the number of, I don't know, books on my shelf again to make sure that no one snuck into my house last night and took one.
Paul, are you kidding me? I'm sure you have a ring. I'm sure you have an alarm system. Getting into these Salguero compounds, like getting into Scarface's mansion, it can't be easy.
Yeah. Having said that, I saw the movie. Someone did get into Scarface's mansion. It didn't end well for Scarface.
No, the lion didn't save his life, sadly.
No, he didn't. All right, folks, join us again next week.